Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
After the resurrection, a new normal was released on earth. How many know that? Amen? But the disciples needed to learn how to operate in this new normal. How many know it wasn't like a computer update and Caleb's like, oh, now I know how to do everything. How many wish that was the case? You get saved, you get a little upgrade in your modem, and you're good to go, right? That would be such a great thing. But Jesus isn't afraid of the process. He's not afraid of the mess, and he wants to work every step out with us. And I'm so grateful for that. Yesterday, we heard a testimony of a man who was, he just had a big past, we'll put it that way. And he had had one person evangelize to him for 7 years. 7 years. This woman would write him cards and say, Jesus loves you. And he was annoyed. He ignored it. He's like, who is this person? But after 7 years, he got saved. Isn't that incredible? And he's weeping. And if you want to hear more about that, I can always share more one-on-one. But I was having a hard time worshiping this morning because I was thinking of that guy's testimony. Some of us have a testimony. Let me rephrase that. All of us have a testimony where none of us should be standing here this morning. And maybe someone didn't reach out to you for 7 years, but you can be that person for 7 years to someone else. That's the new normal, right? The love of God is the new normal. He doesn't give up on us. So this month, we're exploring what it means to live in that new normal, not to give up on God, and to receive the truth that God doesn't give up on us. We're going to explore what it means to live in our identities in Christ and trade in our old normal for the new God has for us. And that's going to look different for us all, but that's the beauty of the family of God. So I want you to think about an event in your life that changed everything. It'll be different for us all. There was an old, or there was a before, and there was an after. It could be positive, it could be negative. So here are a few, maybe simple ones. Maybe there was a graduation in your life. You graduated. Now what? That question, now what, becomes the new normal. Anyone remember that? Excuse me, back in the day? It was so annoying. It's like, now what are you going to do? And you're like, stop asking me. Now you're like 50, and it's like, you know, I could still ask that question. I realize that's like the question that just keeps on going, right? You never graduate from that question. Maybe it was your first job, or you just lost a job. How do I manage life, right? Becomes the new normal question. Maybe it's meeting someone you love. You're in love with them, and they are my normal. Have you ever met someone in love? I mean, like at the beginning stages, and they're like, they're my normal, and you're like, no, like you still have a normal, I promise. It's going to come crashing back to you, right? But everything that's normal for them is now normal for you, right? That's being in love. Maybe it's marriage or the birth of a child. My normal and their normal are not the same. What is normal, right? Help, what is normal? Maybe it's a health issue. Your grasping for normal is the new normal. And you don't have a season where you're just like, man, if I could just have anything normal in my life, let's take one thing that's normal. Maybe it's the death of someone you love, and you just want your old normal back. You don't want a new normal. You want the old normal. And I hope for all of us, and if you haven't had this experience by the end of the day, you will have an opportunity of meeting Jesus. And that's where we ask, what is normal, right? On earth as it is in heaven. And that is not a specific answer either, and I realize that, right? That's a lifelong journey. So ever since Jesus died and resurrected, we are living in that new normal in Jesus, even if you don't realize it, right? And what I love to remember as we're thinking about this new normal is that it has actually existed longer than the old normal. So we have lived in the finished work of the cross longer than the old covenant. I just like to put that out there because sometimes it feels like the finished work of the cross is like, oh, that just happened. We're all like, you know, the old covenant, nope, the finished work of the cross. You can do the math. My husband's an accountant, or he's studying to be one. And I made him do the math like 100 times because I was like, really? Yep. Isn't that exciting? So the new normal in the dictionary definition is a previously unfamiliar or atypical situation that has become standard, usual, or expected. How many are living in a normal life today that would have seemed crazy 5 to 10 years ago? How about 1 year ago? Anybody? Got a couple honest people here, I'm glad, right? And Brian always likes to say this: we often overestimate what we can do in a year and underestimate what can happen in 5 to 10 years. That's always a very encouraging and incredibly discouraging thing to say every time, right? It's true. I'm like, we could do all of this. And then like 5 years later, I'm like, how are we just doing that now? I'm so sorry. What happened, right? Because we often overestimate. But we completely underestimate what God can do in a moment. How many have underestimated what God can do in a moment in your life? Or in a long process too, right? He's not afraid of the process. In Christ, we all have access to a life-giving new normal, new expectations, new faith. But often our greatest battle lies in whether we are embracing that new normal or fighting with the old, like a war on realities. How many feel like you're like, I know I have access to the new, but I feel like I'm duking it out or I'm living in limbo, right? And I think most of us, if not all of us, have that in at least one area of your life. And the good news is God's not afraid of that. Amen? So our theme verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's going to be the verse for the whole month that we'll be unpacking and going off of. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, I like that word in. It can also be with Christ. How many want to be with Christ? It's a good idea, right? Amen. So, therefore, if anyone is with Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new things have come. Or, behold, all things are made new, right? Depending on the translation you memorized. And that word new means new, fresh, unused. And one study notes, this newness is not merely a chronological change, but a profound transformation that affects the spiritual and moral dimensions of life. How many know that when you get saved, it's not like, you know, I'm learning to crawl and then I'm learning to walk. In Jesus, it's like I was crawling to survive and now he's teaching me how to fly, right? It's a different dimension when you're saved. And God wants to open us up to that new normal in him that's supernatural. So I just want to speak this out before we start unpacking it more. There is an unused, fresh life that Jesus has for you every day. Isn't that a good news? There is an unused, fresh life that Jesus has for you every day. He's not recycling yesterday for you. His mercy is new every morning. Isn't that good? I don't know. I feel like I could go home because that's the gospel. Isn't that the good news of the gospel? How many are just grateful that it's not old and it's not recycled, but it's unused? There's a new aspect of Jesus that he wants to show you today. There's always something new in God, and that's the new normal. So let's unpack this a little bit. The first point is a new normal requires a new starting place. So remember that word, new normal was, hold on, let's see. A previously unfamiliar or atypical situation that has become standard, usual, or expected. But that word normal in the dictionary means the usual, the average, or atypical state or condition. So in my 20s, I did a ton of travel and mission work. And let me tell you, waking up in Malawi, Africa, you expect something very different than waking up in Budapest, right? Just different countries, different cultures, different expectations, right? Waking up in a war zone in Israel is a very different expectation than waking up in the fjords of Norway, where it feels like time isn't even happening. I'm expecting something very different. Where you start, your starting point matters in what you expect. And some of us think we're waking up in a war zone, and it may look like that. I'm not denying you the reality you're in. But in Christ, we have access to a new normal. You follow? Where we start determines what we expect. And that's really important. Culture shock is the feeling of disorientation experienced by someone who is suddenly subjected to an unfamiliar culture, way of life, or set of attitudes. How many know when you get saved, there's some culture shock? I'm not talking about church culture. talking about kingdom culture. Amen? There's some culture shock there. What you can expect and where your starting point is different. You don't have to wake up trying to earn attention anymore from God. You can wake up from a place of connection. That'll change everything. And you never graduate from that process. Just this morning, as I was getting ready, I was like, it hit me. I'm like, oh no, I fell into performance-based love again with God. I was like, how did I do that again? I realized I started feeling like God would only love me based on my performance. I'm like, really? Are we back to that, right? Because you never graduate. It's not a destination religion. And so your starting point, I was about to have my starting point today, I'll be honest with you, be like, all right, God, we're gonna perform well. Like, I hope everything works. And instead of just being like, you know what, God, I'm just gonna receive your love, and then we're gonna operate from that place. That was my morning. That was my starting point change this morning, just to be vulnerable with you. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, there is a kingdom culture shock. What worked on the lost, if you remember, if you were here on Easter, if you weren't, we'll be putting these out more, but we had a lost canvas and a found canvas. There was a lot of things that we wrote down from our lost ways, right? And then found in Jesus. What worked over in the lost ways doesn't work in the found, right? Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." A thriving home is a home with citizens of heaven, responding to Father God more than reacting to the world around us. You can spend an entire life trying to live that out with Jesus, right? But I've heard it put like a thermostat in a room instead of just a thermometer, right? And so a thermostat will be like, ooh, we need to adjust the room's temperature, whereas a thermometer is like, it's hot in here, it's cold in here, right? And so as believers in carrying the kingdom culture of God in our new normal, we can walk in a room and instead of just being like, it is negative in here, we can say, ooh, Jesus, what are you doing here? And let's speak life, or let's just carry your peace. Does that make sense? There's a new normal we can share. I also like seeing it like a diplomat's territory in a country responding to their homeland, even though they're on a mission in a different country, right? I love that visual. It's like we're diplomats and we're citizens of heaven operating on earth. Amen? I like Apostle Paul's writing in Ephesians, 4:25 through 32, and Romans 1. They paint a vivid picture of what an old normal and a new normal as citizens of heaven can look like. And we'll be unpacking even more of these this month. But some of the things written in this, the old normal, bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, and malice, unwholesome talk, and tearing each other down. Selfishness, stealing, grieving the Holy Spirit, worshiping created things, perverted sexuality, gossip, and no mercy or love. And then it paints this picture of a new normal, of speaking truthfully, of helpful building up words, working not just for yourself, but to share, kind, compassionate, forgiving, living with Holy Spirit, and much more. Holy Spirit is just God with us on earth right now. So where you start impacts what you expect and what your normal is for the day and for your life. How many know if I wake up today or tomorrow thinking I'm single and I'm married, we're going to have a little bit of a culture clash in my home, right? One of us is, and the reality is both of us, our house probably blow up, right? So if I wake up thinking I'm single, my new normal of being married is in for a rude shock. If I wake up thinking God is angry at me, what I expect of my day is going to be radically different. Where you start matters with what you expect. If I wake up thinking I'm deep in debt in sin, like I have done so many things wrong, I will never be forgiven, I can never repent enough, I can never confess enough, I'm going to expect to sin more, right? If I wake up thinking I'm an orphan, what I expect from my family won't make sense. If my starting point of my day is no mercy from God, I will spend my entire day trying to reach the mercy of Jesus. How many know if you don't think you have mercy from God, you are going to have a very hard time giving mercy to anybody else in your life? Kind of comes back to that performance-based mindset. Any perfectionists in here? Just me. Is it just me? We're all on this side. Okay, good to know. Stick together. We'll have a support group after, right? But a perfectionist mindset is, I mean, I'm just being honest from my own journey. I'm like, well, I'll never forget talking with Brian. Brian was like, what is going on? I'm like, well, I'm just talking to you the way I talk to myself. And I said it and I was like, ah, right? Brought it up in our next Christian counseling meeting. We had some prayer, right? Jesus, help me. But the reality is when you hear how you talk to someone else, and then if it's a spouse, and like Brian, he knew, he was like, what is happening here? And I'm like, well, you're just getting what I give myself. And then I thought, well, hold on, that's not what God's giving me, so I must have stopped receiving something from God if that's what I'm giving. Like, what is happening here, right? Your starting point matters. Your starting point matters. How many know and how many are grateful that God is not managing distance with you? He is pursuing connection always. Isn't that powerful? Aren't you just grateful? As we were thinking, thank you, Jesus, and you're like, why are we saying thank you, Jesus, for the 100th time this morning? I will thank Jesus till I die because he's not managing distance. He is pursuing connection. And how we respond to that is through, you know, repentance, is through turning from our old normal to our new normal and confessing that and then walking in it by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. Amen? So where you start impacts what you expect in your new normal. And we're going to just land here in Luke. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible with Jesus. It is the story of Jesus making breakfast. And Hannah and Will made Pastor Brian a shirt that says, come eat breakfast. And he got a hole in it because he wore it working somewhere, because that's what Brian does. But I was like, I would have worn it if he hadn't put a hole in it this morning, because it's one of my favorite scriptures. Jesus says, come and have breakfast. Come and let's be a starting point of your day together, right? I love that. So we're going to go to Luke. I believe it is chapter 21. And again, hopefully we can all see in here. If you can't, let me know after. Or maybe don't let me know. Let Pastor Caleb know. There you go. Thank you. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. I'm going to read for a minute here. We're going to story time. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. I love that, two other. How many want to be the two others? I'm like, count me as one of the two others. We're together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. How many caught nothing this week? Just a little bit? That's what I was going to say. See, now I remember, pregnancy brain. Brian had a very serious back injury. We caught nothing this week for just a minute. And so if you contacted Brian or myself this week and we didn't get back to you, let me know now because we're catching up. He is walking again, thank God. Keep him in your prayers. So I just want to put that out there. That's what I was going to open with. So again, they caught nothing. Sometimes you have a week where you just catch nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Have you ever just been too tired to realize that Jesus is right in front of you? Maybe it was even this morning, you're like, why is everyone worshiping so passionately? I'm so tired, right? Well, I've been there. Jesus called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered, and he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. I love this because when Jesus died, these disciples decided to go back to their old normal or their old starting point for the day for survival. It was work and fishing, right? How many have had a discouragement or a disappointment or a crisis in your life, and without even realizing it, you just find yourself going right back to your old starting point? You don't even know what. You're just reaching for whatever that addiction was or that person was that was unhealthy, and it's because you felt Jesus died. You felt that tombstone got rolled back over, but it didn't. Amen? But that's what these disciples did. And they went right back to where they started in Luke 5 because Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. So they literally just went full circle. So if you feel like you're going full circle, there is no condemnation in Christ, just an invitation to transformation. Amen? It's so easy to go back to yesterday's thought patterns, stresses, failures in that face of disappointment. But how many know that his mercy is new every morning? Amen. His mercy is new every morning. Sometimes that's what just gets me going. I'm like getting ready and I'm like, there is mercy that has never touched earth before and I'm going to get some of it. And that's what's going to get me through the day. Amen. But not just for me. Share it. Pass it on. Right? You can be a perfectionist with mercy. Right? So my question is, where is your starting point for your day? In your relationships, in your thoughts, in your habits, in your priorities? And where would you like it to be with Jesus? When you look at that Ephesian scripture, at that Roman scripture, again, there's a lot more scriptures we're going to unpack this month, but let's get practical. Is your starting point no mercy? Is your starting point, I'm going to earn this? Is your starting point, I'm connected? And I got to admit to you, it doesn't have to feel real. That's one of the biggest lies. Like, well, if it doesn't feel real, it isn't real. Thank God it's not a feeling. Holy Spirit is not an emotion. Amen? Right? I love, I heard this once from a pastor. God is not weird. People are. Right? That kind of redeemed some stuff. I was like, okay, right? But he did make people, so I don't know. You know, but God is, the Holy Spirit's not an emotion, and so the truth of God is also not an emotion. Sometimes we got to receive by faith. So it's like, you know what, God? My starting point is connected today. My starting point is receiving mercy. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't look real. My experience says it's not real, but I am believing by faith because I'm operating in the new normal, and that new normal means I can have new expectations because of Jesus. Amen? So the second point that I'm going to do real quick here is new normal equals requires abundant life, right? It's to receive and to give. You know, one of the key scriptures that I love is the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The new normal isn't just about you, but who you impact in your daily life. Thank God that the new normal isn't just about you. And if you think it is, you may not have quite reached that new normal in Jesus, right? Before we see that Jesus had fish to give to the disciples when he said, come and eat and have breakfast, he said, bring your fish. Let's cook what you brought. And I love this. So in the new normal, in Ephesians, it said that the new normal is a blessing on your work of your hands to share. And so I think it's really powerful because we don't strive and we don't earn, but we do bring something to God to share. How many know you bring something? I think Sherry said, you know, the purpose, discover purpose and all of that this morning. And you bring something to the table of Thrive to share. It looks different in every season and where we are with Jesus, but we have something in the work of our hands to share. That's part of the new normal. And Jesus met them right there in the midst of their failure. And so if you feel like, you know what, I am in the old normal, I'm stuck in the old normal this morning, Jesus is right there with you. He's inviting you to breakfast this morning. So let's just continue here in Luke 21. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off. How would you like that in the scripture about yourself? The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. What's powerful about this verse is the reality that the last time that we see Peter doing something for Jesus, it was the very much old reality and the old normal because he was denying Jesus, right? So we go from denying Jesus to swimming to Jesus. What is it? Just keep swimming? That's what I should have called. I should have called today's message, just keep swimming. So if we stop at John 20, Peter was a disciple in denial, and he turns into the biggest leader in Acts, sharing abundant life. So what happens between the denial and becoming this huge church leader, right? How many know what happens in between? Some of us are in that in-between moment, and it's really powerful to see you're not alone in that. I wish it had said Peter stepped on the water. Wouldn't that have been powerful? Then, like, and then Peter wrapped his outer garment, stepped on the water, and gracefully walked across it to Jesus. How many want that to be your story of operating in the new normal? It does not say that. It says he jumped in and he did the 100-yard dash. My husband's a swimmer, I am not, right? I just wish that the reality of his healing and restoration was a lot less wet and a lot less messy. But the reality is, in order for us to operate in the new normal that Jesus has for us, sometimes it can get a little messy, right? We all want to walk on water to Jesus. Sometimes we're swimming through some stuff. Feels like we're drowning, but he won't let us drown. Amen?
Amen.
When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it. The only other place where the fire of burning coals appears is when Peter had denied his Lord in John 18:18. So Peter not only swam to Jesus, but he swam towards the very thing that represented him denying Jesus, now to redeem it. Think about that. Redemption is the new normal in Jesus. What hurt you in your past can now be a sign of healing through the resurrection power of God. I hope you're getting that. Isn't that powerful? Often we want healing and freedom to look like shiny moments of miracles. I do. And you know what? Praise God for the miracles. But it's all a miracle. And sometimes we forget that. It's all a miracle, right? But sometimes coming to Jesus looks like walking on water in the storm. And sometimes it looks like swimming at dawn through shame and guilt and triggers right towards the very coals where you denied him last, to instead have communion in that place and receive healing.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It says, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. I like that. He's like, "Peter, thank you for swimming. Go help them, right? Don't have a seat with me yet. You got to get back to work, right?" It was full of fish, 153. I don't know what that, I remember I did a study on that. I'm like, why is it 153? I don't know. Don't go under those weird things. But there are 153 fish. But the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after being raised from the dead. That new normal of having breakfast with Jesus is the new normal you can have. Some of us have been waking up in an empty boat and have missed Jesus standing on the shore, inviting us to a place of healing. Amen? This month is an invitation to meet Jesus at the coals of your life. I don't know what the coals represent in your life. Maybe it's a failure. Maybe it's a negative pattern, an addiction, whatever it is. Maybe it's something you did, happened to you. It takes bravery. But Jesus is right there with you, and he's inviting us to commune with him, to be in relationship with him right there, so he can bring his redemption and his mercy and his restoration power. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet here as we close? I love this, because eating the fish with Jesus, what had been a source of survival to the fishermen, became a source of thriving in Jesus. Right? In a new normal with Jesus, what was just survival in yesterday's season can be used to grow closer to Jesus in this season. Jesus didn't say, "How dare you be fishing? Go throw all the fish away. I'll make some manna." He said, "All right, bring the work of your hands, and I wanted to eat his fish. He already had fish cooking. I don't know what his fish and bread tasted like. But he said, "I'll bring what I'm bringing. You bring what you're bringing, and let's meet at the place of restoration that once represented pain and failure. Let's meet there." Peter was called the rock of the church. He's traditionally the head of the 12 disciples. He went on numerous missionary trips to preach about Jesus. He was a martyr for Christ. But without that swimming to him in the coals, I don't know what would have happened to him. And some of us are stuck in the boat. And this month, I want to invite you. And you're like, "You know what? I don't even have the courage to get out of the boat." Well, there's a Bible story where Jesus walks up to it. Maybe that's where you're at. You're like, "You know what, God? I don't have the faith to swim to the coals. But Jesus, if you'll meet me on the water, I will try out a little bit of a new normal with you." He's right there. There is no condemnation. He is inviting us. We can have a starting point, a new starting point for our life, an abundant life for us and others. And it can change anyone from a headstrong fisherman to a worldwide leader. Anybody a headstrong fisherman in the house today? The good news is, this is important, you don't stay a headstrong fisherman. You get transformed into a worldwide leader, all right? Some of us are like, that's my identity. I'm a headstrong fisherman. Jesus is like, hold on, right? Transformation, right? So I want to invite you right now just to receive Jesus. And if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior and you're like, what is this new normal? Or maybe you tried a new normal with Jesus once. You're like, you know, I tried Jesus. It just didn't work. I want to invite you to receive him as your Savior again, to come back to him, rededicate your life to him, or receive him as your Savior for your first time. He's here. He's walking on the water, or he's at the bonfire, whatever you need this morning. So let's just close our eyes and pray this morning. If that's you, if you're like, you know what, I wanna get out of the boat and I want to take that next step in faith, whether it's rededicating your life or it's receiving him for the first time, I just want to invite you to raise your hand this morning. We just want to celebrate that moment of courage in your life. We had a lot of people do that last month, and I'm just praying more do it this month. And Jesus, we just invite you right now to be our Savior. If that's you, just pray this. Jesus, be my Savior. I dedicate my life to you. I turn away from my old normal and I turn to you. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that for the first time or to rededicate your life, I just invite you to go back to the back corner. We want to give you something. But I also just want to bless you this morning. So right now, Jesus, I just bless every coal in our life to encounter Jesus. Every failure, every area that maybe some of us have been running from, God, we thank you that there is no wall you won't break down. There's no lie you can't tear down in your unconditional love. We just bless the work of our hands today, God, to receive abundant life, not just for ourselves, but for others. Teach us how to be generous with that, to bring our fish to you, but to also receive the fish from you. And God, I just ask for a supernatural reset of our starting points in our days. Some of us this week are going to realize that starting point for communication or for reacting or responding or priorities or sleeping or whatever it is, it's shifting. And Jesus wants to disciple you. He wants to show you what a new starting point can look like. God, teach us how to start in your mercy, in your love, in your joy, in your healing, in your restoration by faith, not by feeling. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.